One who has a heart desiring to live for the Lord can have contentment that the world cannot understand. Now listen to the Chapel Platform coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Those who speak in BJU Chapel, the morning worship service, and other services here on the campus have been greatly used of God. After the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, today's speaker is Dr. Nathan Bud Stedman, pastor of Community Baptist Church in South Bend, Indiana. He gave this challenge on Monday, November 25, 1996, at a chapel service at BJU. Referring to several events that occurred at the time he preached this message, Dr. Stedman reviews the road of challenge the Lord has brought him through. Often, we do not see the Lord's all-encompassing control over what happens in our lives. Please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 for his text. Dr. Stedman's message of hope and encouragement is titled, Contentment.
Today and tomorrow, we're privileged to have in chapel Pastor Bud Stedman, Community Baptist Church in South Bend, Indiana. His wife Ruth is here. Sarah, Nathan, and Hannah, his children, are also here, and we feel very privileged that the family could be here for this Thanksgiving time and we could benefit from the ministry of Pastor Stedman. He's a 1975 graduate of BJU, and the great thrill of my life is to see the anointing of God upon the younger generation of pastor in this country. Pastor Stedman has been tried as by fire and proven faithful to the Lord. His pastorates in Virginia and North Carolina before his present pastorate, which he has not been in very long in South Bend, have been exemplary. His ministry is warm and fervent, and anyone would be privileged to sit under his pastorate. I thank the Lord for him. I'm glad we could bring him here because as a younger man in the ministry, I believe that his messages will be especially pertinent to you for your life at this time. And I know that God has something very special for us from Pastor Stedman. We're thrilled you're here, Pastor, and God bless you as you preach to us.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. It is a real joy to be with you today and tomorrow in chapel. We thank you, Dr. Bob, for the opportunity of being here to share God's Word. I want to bring greetings to the young people from Catawba Springs in Raleigh, North Carolina, and also Community Baptist in South Bend. And we send you greeting from your family and loved ones there. And, I haven't been this nervous since I came to Bob Jones as a freshman from the hills of Tennessee and did my informative speech on how to make moonshine. That was quite an experience for me. By the Lord's mercies and the grace of my teacher, I received an A on that speech, and I hope that by His mercies, His Spirit blesses as well today. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, if you would, please. We're going to read three verses, which will introduce what I would like to share with you today and tomorrow, part as a testimony of what God has been doing in my life, but also a challenge to you for the days ahead. Philippians chapter 4, beginning reading in verse 10, down through verse 13. Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I would like to pose the question today and tomorrow about your responses to biblical contentment and submission. You see, God has allowed in every one of our lives certain circumstances and certain situations which are part of His making us what He wants us to be for His glory. And the great key for us is to respond biblically in faith with contentment and submission to that which God is doing in our lives. And to do that, I would like to share a testimony with you this morning and some exposition from this passage. And then tomorrow we plan to go to Lamentations chapter 3, a wonderful passage of the Word of God, which I think will be a challenge to your heart. It was 2 years ago when I had the opportunity in the spring to speak at the Wiles Christian Camp, doing a couples retreat there, that I became quite ill. Brother Mac Lynch was preparing for the service, and I told him that I was not feeling well and that if I had to leave, then I would ask him to take over the rest of the service. I didn't know what was wrong. I had a very difficult time there that weekend, and then following a number of other episodes of suddenly becoming ill, I decided to go to the doctor. After extensive tests over a matter of months, the doctors determined that I had in my throat a benign parathyroid tumor. One of my friends I graduated with from the school here is a throat surgeon, and he said, when you have that sickness, you have moans and groans and stones. And that pretty much described what I was dealing with. So I went into the hospital there in Raleigh, North Carolina. The surgeon said, it'll be no problem. It's a major surgery, but somewhat routine, and you'll be fine. So we had the surgery. I was recovering well in the hospital and just doing great. I had to stay about 3 days to get the calcium levels, which are the primary part of the body that is affected by this type of tumor, had to get those under control. And I was ready to go home. It was Thursday morning, and I was excited. I was going home, free from the problems of the past. And then the doctor came in, and he sat down on my bed. And he said, Pastor Stedman, I need to talk to you for a moment. He said, when we were doing the routine pathology, he said, we found something. And he said, I'm very shocked. But I'm here to tell you that we found another type of growth in a lymph node, and it doesn't look good. And I said, Doctor, are you saying that you have found cancer? And he said, yes. He said, but the good news is that it is very treatable, thyroid cancer, in an area of my body near the parathyroids, but they were not suspecting a problem. He said, it's very treatable. He said, we would like you to go back in, have another surgery, and then have follow-up radiation treatments, and we feel like you'll have a good prognosis. From there, I had two additional surgeries, had two radiation treatments, and by the Lord's grace today, I'm doing very well, they tell me, though there are some remnants of that cancer-type thyroid tissue that they're looking for in the future, but a very good report. During that time, this was fall of 94, my parents took very hard the fact that their youngest son had cancer. And I remember getting the call about 2 months after my surgeries that my mother had suffered a major stroke. She also was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. She was in the hospital. They did not think that she would live. We went to Tennessee, where my folks are, visited my mother in the hospital, and it was nip and tuck, but she came through and she was able to return home. The stroke left her partially impaired with her memory and her rationing abilities. And the doctor said she'd have to be watched very closely because she didn't know when to take her medicine. She had some real problems from the stroke. My dad began to care for her at our home there in Tennessee, and he was doing quite well for his age. But one night during the middle of the night, Dad got up, walked across the floor, and slumped. He also suffered a massive stroke. My mother, because of the problem that she had from her stroke, was not able to assess the situation, and she sat down on the floor, took my father's head in her lap, and sat in the darkness for 6 hours. My father could not speak, he could not move, and my mother sat there because she thought there was really nothing wrong that could not wait until morning. And when I got the news the following day that that had taken place in my parents' life, it was a great grief of heart to me, because within the matter of 2 or 3 months, the real burdens of life pressed heavily upon my heart. My parents from that time have had to have continual care in a nursing home, and today they're there in Tennessee being cared for. And by the Lord's grace, we'll go up there on Friday and visit with them and have a birthday celebration for them there in the nursing center. It was shortly after that episode and that trauma in our lives as a family that my youngest sister, Pam, said to me one day as we were walking in the yard outside my parents' home, she said, Bud, she said, let me ask you a question. Would you like to go back to those days when we were teenagers? Would you like to turn back the calendar 25 years when life was so much easier and there seemed to be no heartaches and we had a lot of joy in our lives? And young people, it was a great blessing to me to be able to say to my sister, no, I would not want to turn those clocks back. Not 25 years, not 2 years, not a day, because God is teaching me the principle of contentment in the circumstances of life. And that's what I want us to look at today and tomorrow in this passage and in Lamentations chapter 3, what contentment is. But before we do that, let's think for a moment of what contentment is not. Contentment is not passively surrendering to an impersonal fate. You know, there are some people who just really don't care about life. They think, as the old song says, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see, que sera, sera. And it's kind of a surrender to some impersonal fate which has nothing to do with us. We're on this orb called Earth, and it's spinning out of control, and whatever happens, happens. But that is not biblical contentment. You see, it is something totally different from that. It is not passively surrendering to an impersonal fate. But it's also not a lack of passion. You know, when I was here in school, there were certain foods that I greatly loved. And there were others that I really did not care for. And one of those types of food that the Lord has never had trouble with me giving up is Brussels sprouts. You know, when I decided to give up Brussels sprouts, it was not a spiritual struggle for me. I made that decision very easily. But there are other things in life that have been very, very important to me. And when God called upon me or does call upon me to give those things up, it is very difficult. To surrender to His Lordship in an area that I have passion for is a very, very difficult thing. You see, I have a passion for my parents. To see them suffering, to see them hurting, and to realize that I am going to have to give them up is a very difficult thing. And yet, in the midst of that, I can have contentment. In the ministry, I think that if a pastor ever gets to the point where he becomes complacent about souls and he says, well, it really doesn't matter if folks get saved, or it really doesn't matter if folks walk the aisle. If he gets to that point, that is not contentment, that is complacency. But rather, a godly pastor will cry out to the Lord, and no matter how many are saved or what result there is, they will be concerned for more people to trust Christ and to follow the Lord. So contentment is not surrendering to some impersonal force in life, and it is not a lack of passion about that which is important in life. But rather, biblical contentment, I believe, is recognizing that we have adequate resources to meet whatever circumstance comes into our lives. Let me give you this illustration. Most of you at the end of this month will have a school bill due. Now, I realize that there is a very diverse group of young people before me this morning. Some of you folks are praying daily for your needs. And that's pretty much how I made my way through Bob Jones. My parents were not wealthy. They were not able to contribute much at all to my education here. But God provided, and I had to pray my way through school a lot of times. There are others of you this morning that have money in the bank for your next school bill. It is there, and you know that you have the resources necessary to pay that school bill. Now, if you have money in the bank to pay your next school bill, you can be content about that from a human standpoint, because you know that you have adequate resources to meet the need. Now, if you don't have the money in the bank and that bill is coming due, it may cause you to have a lack of contentment about what God is doing in your life if you do not trust Him. So what is contentment? Contentment is recognizing that you have adequate resources to meet the circumstances of life that God brings to you. Now let's look at our scripture, if you would, please. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He is in great need himself, has been in great need. And he begins in verse 10 and he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Paul is beginning to give the church at Philippi a threefold reason why they can be content in the circumstances of life. He is going to tell them why they should not worry, why they should not be anxious, why they should not be fearful, because in Christ they have everything they need for the circumstances of life. They can be content. The first thing he mentions relating to Christ is what I would call the overruling providence of God. In verse 10, he talks about God doing something for him. Now think about it. Paul is having a great need at this point in his life financially. It has been some time since the Philippian church has communicated him concerning giving and receiving. They've not given recently to his missionary ministry. And at the time when Paul has a need, the scripture says that there is a flourishing, a revival of the giving of the Philippians to Paul. God ordained the need, and God ordained the meeting of the need. God brought those two things together. And that is called the providence of God. You know, we don't hear much about the providence of God anymore. In our day of science and the emphasis upon humanism, there's very little talk about the providence of God. But the word providence comes from an old Latin word, which means literally to see before. It's the roots pro video, and I like that concept of pro video, to see video, pro before. God sees before what we need. He sees ahead of time the circumstances that are going to come into our life. And by His sovereign plan and His grace and His mercy, He works this side and He works that side so that He is able to do like He did with Paul, to take the need and the supplying of the need and bring those together, because He has pro video. He sees ahead of time. And Paul says to these people, because of the overruling providence of God, He is able to meet your need, and you can be content. Now, what do we learn from this passage? A couple of things. Number one, life is not a series of accidents, but a series of appointments. You realize that your life and those circumstances which come into your life that are beyond the responsibility of your personal control are the result of God working in your life. He has pro video. He sees ahead of time what you need. He sees the circumstances that He needs to bring into your life to make you what He wants you to become. Life is not a series of accidents, but a series of appointments. I think in the Old Testament, when Abraham took his son to Mount Moriah, he said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. And I would ask you, young person, was that ram that was caught in the thicket an accident or an appointment? The Lord will provide. The Lord who sees, the Lord who has pro video, has supplied the ram. 2,000 years later, when Jesus Christ was dying upon Calvary's tree, was that an accident or was that an appointment? No, it was a God who has pro video, who saw from before the foundation of the world that there had to be a lamb slain for the sins of the world. The Scripture makes it clear that God gives us a series of appointments. Life is not a series of accidents. But also we learn that God is able to take the bad things in life, the difficult things, the needs, the trials, and He is able to turn those to our good and His glory. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament when he was sold by his brothers with deceit and envy into slavery. He was sold apart from his family, and it seemed to be a horrible situation. But later on, before his brothers, he gave these words in Genesis 45 and 50. He says, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." And then he said, "But as for you, you brethren, my brethren, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto me for good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." It's basically a statement of Romans 8:28 that all things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, what's he saying here in verse 10? He is saying that God has the ability to bring a need into our life, and then to bring the solution to that need into our lives. He brings the circumstances because of His providence, His pro video. God is able to bring into our lives that which He wants to make us into the image of Jesus Christ. So what should that mean for us? That should mean that we should have confidence in God's control and contentment in the circumstances of life. But notice he gives a second thing here about contentment, beginning in verse 11 through verse 13. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Paul is quick here to point out that he is not complaining about the hardships of life. He is not weeping over the sorrows and the difficulties, the circumstances that are there. But rather, he is drawing on the deep, hidden resources of life that are found in Jesus Christ. And because of that, he is strengthened by the unfailing power of God. I want you to notice a couple of words here in this passage that teach us about this matter of contentment. Number one, contentment is learned. He says in verse 11 that he learned it by experience. That's the meaning of the word. You see, when you get saved, you do not have infused into your being a spiritual contentment. It is learned as you go through the experiences of life, and God works in your life to bring you to learn of himself that in him you have resources. It is something you learn. It is not independent of you or of your circumstances. Rather, he says that he was instructed in verse 12. And that word instructed means to be initiated into the secret things. It's from the old paganism that Paul was familiar with, where they would take the person and initiate them into the secrets of the pagan religion. And Paul said that contentment was something that he learned, and he had been initiated into contentment as a secret from Jesus Christ. So, dear friend, contentment is learned by walking with the Lord Jesus. Contentment, number two, is of the Lord. And I want you to see verse 13. He says, "It is through Christ which strengtheneth me." How do you gain contentment? Is it by having plenty? No. Paul said, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." He said, "I know how to suffer and I know how to have plenty." So is contentment from the circumstances of life? No, it is from Jesus Christ. And it's the unfailing power of God that can take a person who has great need and make them content, and take also a person who has great self-sufficiency and bring them to the place of contentment. Paul said, "I know how to be abased, I know how to have poverty, I know how to suffer, but I also know how to be abounding, I know how to have possessions." And in both cases, through the power of Christ, I can have contentment because he is the adequate resource that I have for the circumstances of life. But then notice lastly, I want us to look at verse 19. Paul says, because of the overruling providence of God, he has provideo, you can be content in the circumstances of life. He is bringing into your life what he wants for you. Because of the unfailing power of God, because you can be strengthened through Christ, you can be content whether you have little or you have much. God can give you the grace through his unfailing power to be content in the circumstances of life. But thirdly, he gives us the unchanging promise in verse 19. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, Paul has just talked about the human source of the provision of his need. He said that the giving of the church was like the blossoming of a tree. The word flourish, which means to be revived, has the idea of a tree budding again. And Paul was excited about the renewed giving of the church. He said it was an eternal investment in verses 15 through 17. They had given to the Lord and God would provide for them. And he talked about it being a spiritual sacrifice there in verse 18, as they had given it on the altar to the Lord. But though Paul recognized that giving was from the human source of the church, he saw beyond that the giving of this church was really from the heavenly storehouse of Jesus Christ, because it was Christ who had supplied his need. You know, you hear the stories about folks getting checks in the mail and their school bills are paid. Well, some of those are true. But I had a number of friends that never did get a check in the mail. They never did get that proverbial provision that came from some unknown source. But young people, I'm here to say to you today, whatever your circumstance, the source for life, though there may be a human element and God does use us as humans, the resources for meeting the circumstance in life are not from that unknown person or that church back home. It is from the hand of Jesus Christ, who is the one who is able to supply all of our need. Our adequate resources for life are in Jesus Christ alone. What do you need this morning, young person? Do you need rest? Are you weary? There's never been anyone that was as weary as the Lord Jesus that day outside the city of Samaria. He had traveled long. They were hungry. He was weary. He sat down by a well and a woman came, and then later the disciples came back. And they said, "Lord, has someone given you something to eat?" And he said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." What was he saying? He was content in the will of God. He was content, though weary. This morning, are you discouraged? This morning, are you lonely? This morning, do you have a financial need? There was never anyone that was lonelier than the Lord Jesus. He left heaven's glory for 33 years. He was away from home. He was buffeted by men. He was abandoned by His disciples. He was placed upon a cross. Yet in the Garden of Gethsemane, He could pray, "Lord, not my will, but Thine be done." Why? He was looking to His Father, whom He trusted, whom He knew would give Him all the adequate resources to face Calvary's tree. And young person, it is that same Lord Jesus Christ who is risen from the dead that is now at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you. And we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. What are the adequate resources for life? They are, in fact, the person of Jesus Christ Himself. If you will walk with Him and know Him and be strengthened by Him, and focus on Him, you will find all that you need to be content, whatever God brings into your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Through Thy precepts we get understanding, therefore we can hate every false way. Father, we pray that You would be teaching us contentment, teaching us to look unto the Lord Jesus, to depend upon Him who has provideo, who has unfailing power, who has an unfailing promise that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Father, may we be content in Him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, just send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Bud Stedman, the title of his message, Contentment, and also be sure to mention today's date. Join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.